You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And Sebastian, we are show one of three today.
Yes.
Our listeners may know that around the holiday season, the winter festive break mass, you know, it's...
Yes.
We also take a break, but also a lot of the radio stations that carry our show, they like to have the shows up in advance.
Yes.
You know, a lot of stations might be live over Christmas, but not necessarily.
A lot of them will be automated.
Exactly. Yeah. So we like to provide some of our shows in advance. Anyway, we are recording three in a row.
Yes.
And
this is going to be our only current events show. No, one of two current event shows for this month, because the other two will be pre-recorded, and therefore we have to think of something that is not current events, because they're not going to be current events.
Well, we're actually a good friend of ours, former queer journalist Bradley, will be interviewing us about our 10 years plus, almost 15 years of doing queer radio.
You forgot his last name, didn't you?
Turcon.
Yes. Nice French name.
We're going to be talking about the highs, the lows, the thrills, the chills of our coverage of queer media for the past decade in next week's show.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, we have this week talking about the big gay news of the week. There hasn't been much outside of everyone's favorite
meme.
I was going to say CEO adjuster, but moving on. And then in a couple of weeks, we will be having the big gay quiz of the year, where we celebrate really all the news. Play along. It'll be a lot of fun. I actually finished going over the quiz this morning. But we are going to start off with a new story out of the UK.
Okay.
So we look at queer news from across Canada. We tend to rely on Canadian sources like Daily Extra. Well, I say we don't. No, that's a correction. We don't rely on them at all, because they're really infrequent.
And I'm not going to lie, every time in general, whenever I find something, I if it's not AP... And even then, if it is AP sometimes, depending on the contents of the story, I'll double-check.
The Associated Press.
Yeah. The Associated Press and Canadian Press, they're very good at avoiding liability, and they tend to not misreport.
It's the wire service.
Yeah. But sometimes they only give half a story. But once you know what half the story is, it's easy to find the other half. It's amazing how many times I've found things just on, like, Facebook groups, or I've dug into... like Hamilton Spectator, or what was it, the Sault Ste. Marie Monitor, I think? The Sault Ste. Marie and Sudbury.
Intelligence.
I actually read their local media sometimes, because there'll be a story, and I'm like, there's got to be more detail. And you just go to the local reporters, and all the detail you need is right there. So yeah, local reporting is kind of crucial in what we do.
Well, we tend to look at the CBC has some stories. Somebody has to be bleeding. Or we also do tend to get our news from history reverses of all places. But some of the most reliable news sources that we follow outside of Canada involves pinknews.co.uk in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I double check their stories especially.
Really?
Yeah.
I find them pretty reliable.
They do half the story. You have to read the other half to get the full picture.
That is fair. But Pink News has found itself in the middle of a sexual misconduct investigation.
Oh, what is it with sex pests?
So the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, in the UK, one of the largest news teams in the world over at the BBC, they spoke with 30 current and former staff at pinknews.co.uk, and it led to multiple allegations of sexual misconduct by the former co-founder and CEO. I think he's the COO, Chief Operating Officer, not the Chief Executive Officer. Benjamin Coleman and his husband, Anthony James. Everything from kissing and touching a junior colleague, being too drunk to... I think that particular case, the junior colleague was too drunk to consent to anything. Also... Okay. It's your boss, like the guy that owns the company.
So
about 30-odd former staff members came to say that they have a culture of heavy drinking, which leads to inappropriate behavior, especially towards younger male employees.
And I don't want to stereotype, but it is, you know, an LGBT space and English.
Yeah, that's true. So Pink News' mission apparently is to inform, inspire change, and empower people to be themselves. I was not able to find any coverage of this on Pink News itself.
What if yourself is a drunk harasser? Like, maybe you should be discouraged from being yourself if that is your MO.
The BBC investigation was extensive. They have emails, WhatsApp chat threads, interviews with 30-plus current and former employees, as well as doctors' reports related to stress and mental health attributed to the staff working at pinknews.co.uk.
Okay.
A lot of people essentially said it was...
Some of that's normal media, though. Even a well-run media organization has stress issues. That doesn't excuse it, but it just context.
I think that there is a need for sure to professionalize every workplace.
Yes, absolutely.
No one should be the victim of sexual harassment in any workplace. Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen a lot of talk recently about the future of journalism, in part because of the fact that in the recent US election, it seemed like the mainstream media or the traditional media seem to almost have an opposing effect on the results. Like, the more they promoted something, the more people looked into it, and they ended up having the opposite opinion. And they also say it's the first election that was won through social media and new media. And there's been a lot of talk as well about what does media look like now, because it used to be that journalism was very much a working class thing. You had people coming in who came from all kinds of backgrounds. You know, you start in obits, you learned how to write and edit, then you moved up to... I don't know, maybe the
obits being obituaries.
Obituaries, then you went to public announcing, and then you would be trained on how to do actual reporting. And it was usually just people off the street who were tenacious, smart, and pretty good at writing. And then from there they would train you up. They didn't care if you were a plumber, they didn't care if you swept the floors, they didn't care if you were a man or a woman, because in the end, like, there's certain places where a man can go and a woman can't go, and the opposite. So you want a little bit of everyone, and working class, it was usually working class people reporting stories of interest to working class people. But then, of course, you also had things like The New Yorker, which is like almost a century old by now.
Or The New York Times.
New York Times. Yeah. So now a lot of journalism is run by university graduates who got a degree in journalism. And you're not seeing a lot of these old-fashioned come off the street and they train you on the job kinds of journalists anymore.
I mean, I think you're absolutely right. The idea, the old days of, you know, it used to be anyone with some lived experience and who could do storytelling could be a journalist.
The gumshoe sort of a dated reference by now, but the Aaron Brockovich type storytelling, you know, investigative journalists who just, they see a problem, they look into the problem, they tell the problem.
I feel like old school journalism is today's podcasters.
They can be, yeah.
As two guys currently, like, literally right now doing a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, why a guy with a beard does podcast breaking news? But I suppose the point I'm coming back to is anyone should feel empowered to tell the stories of their community.
Oh, yeah.
There is a responsibility. In Canada, it is against the Broadcast Act to issue false news.
Yes.
You can't, so, you know, that might be a shock to Fox News, but you can't legally in Canada promote false news. now editorial opinion pieces. Mm-hmm. We're not a news show. We're a current affairs show that offers commentary on the news, very specifically.
We have broken news before.
We have broken some news. Yeah. Knock it off a shelf. Who knows what happens?
You know, sometimes just doing a little bit of research is not that hard, or just interviewing someone and getting their opinion.
Or sitting through an AGM.
Oh my God, don't get me started. Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to bring it up because it is important when the places that we use as sources become the news themselves.
Oh yes.
It sounds to me like they had Prosecco Fridays. Which is like a cheap bubbly champagne.
Did they literally?
Yeah, they had Prosecco Fridays.
Oh my God.
And it was when things get, you know, they go to the pub, they're in there until like the very early hours of the morning. Mm-hmm. Hey, junior staffer, do you want to come back to my place? My husband's out of town. Things like that, not remotely appropriate. And I sincerely hope that pinknews.co.uk has a massive in-house culture overhaul. So that doesn't happen. Because it remains one of the only, like, viable queer news sources in the world. You know, they are on par in Europe to The Advocate or Out in the US. You know, that meme of holding space for Defying Gravity, if you remember when that happened from the Wicked movie that came out and someone was holding space for that song. The meme that went viral.
In what world do I know anything about Wicked?
Anyway, it was an interview with Ariana and Cynthia, and the interviewer was like, a lot of queer folks are holding space for it.
I'm the wrong kind of gay man for that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Anyway, but it was Out Magazine that did that interview. That's who that was.
Okay.
So queer media is few and far between. They need your support. We can't keep doing it. We're done. We're tapping out here over at Can Queer. But what we also want to emphasize to our listeners right now is if you're listening to this, either it's as a podcast or you might be listening to it on the FM. I don't think any AM has us, but you might be listening to it on the FM, in which case the broadcaster you're listening to right now is quite happy to invite you to come in and pitch and produce and create your own show.
Yes.
We take up the airspace on so many stations sharing queer news, queer stories, queer politics, a queer perspective on what's happening.
And if we're syndicated in your community, it's because your community has a need for something like this, but no one local has stepped forward. And honestly, there's been multiple times where we've gotten emails from radio stations across Canada saying, we're going to have to stop syndicating you because a local has stepped forward to try to do the same thing, and our answer is good.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
That's a success story.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
good.
Yeah.
So we look forward to everyone who tries to take our place.
Yeah, please put us out of a job. You know, that's really the goal here. But no, I mean, the point is, if you're like, it doesn't sound like what these two guys do is overly difficult. I mean, we read a lot of news, so I think that would be a pretty high priority, is one has to read a lot of news.
Well, yeah.
But if you feel like storytelling is important to you and sharing queer news is important to you, please get in touch with the station you're hearing this on. Reach out. Let them know you're interested.
Yeah.
We might be able to help. We've offered to assist some folks creating shows.
Sure.
But yeah, there is going to be a gap in the market.
Yeah.
Can you fill that gap? ?
Giggity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. In other queer news about queer news, I think I was on the roll.
Oh, there's another story?
There's another story. So Diva Magazine, which I believe is also out of the UK, we followed some of their news. They're more lesbian focused but they cover some queer stuff in general.
Okay.
And it isn't overly newsy, but they've just become a registered charity. So that's very exciting. They're looking at a new part of their legacy. They're looking to amplify more LGBTQIA folks, promote the rights of queer folks all over the world. Yeah, so this is very exciting to see what's happening there. It was really a tale of two cities when it comes to queer news in the UK this past week. Pinknews.co.uk, in the middle of a national scandal, Downing Street commented on the Pink News story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the government's saying that that's very troubling. I mean, it is. Yeah. It is very troubling. Nobody should have a workplace where that behaviour happens. It's unacceptable. And then Diva really kind of setting a totally different standard and example.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of our first segment. Where next up, we're playing Cedar Roots. This is Honey. It's a sort of, it's from their All I Want for Christmas album. This track is called Honey, as I mentioned earlier. This is the artist Cedar Roots, and we will be back just after this.
Trying to make sense of it all lately. Kinda seems like the whole world's gone crazy.
Honey, honey, honey for you. Shibba-ba-da-da-dee-ba-ba-ba.
Hello and welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And there's a lot of news we're not going to talk about. I might mention it in a couple of weeks in the quiz, but every purveyor of gentleman cinema has released data on viewing habits for the past year.
Okay, yes.
Very entertaining stories.
Yes.
Unfortunately, our show goes out at times where discussing trends in adult cinema is not
appropriate. I do love the cinema.
The cinema.
Yes.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, it's not overly appropriate, so we won't be diving into it. But it has dominated a lot of room in queer media this past week.
Well, also, the you know, which celebrities may or may not be LGBT, ... We still don't know about Shawn Mendes. Like, we care about someone's personal life if they're not talking about it publicly. I don't know. It is pretty frustrating. Actually, that's probably the biggest barrier that we have to finding interesting and discussion-worthy news, is you have to dig through all the piles of whether or not Daniel Craig is gay or not, or if he's just comfortable playing a role in that makes him, I don't know, but it's nonsense, but sorry, go on.
So, surprising news in the Vatican. So, normally we do a Christmassy episode,
okay,
and we keep a lot of our Christian news for that week, but we're doing a different show this Christmas. But I wanted to talk about surprising news out of the Vatican.
Okay.
And that has to do with an LGBTQ pilgrimage.
Yes, I saw Rome. That. Yes.
Very exciting stuff.
I don't think they're doing the full pilgrimage where they go on foot.
Yeah, just walk for many days and many nights.
Yeah.
And you know, in sandals that with blisters. And yeah, no, I mean, get in the Prius, park, take the subway, job done.
That was the original intent, was that it was an act of piety to walk across until you get there. Rome or Bethlehem, whichever one is...
Further? Closer?
I don't know. I don't know how they decided which one to go to. It's probably a personal choice about which one you're going to. But yeah, the pilgrimage. Sometimes they go pilgrimage on boat, but I don't know. Doing it on foot was supposed to be the thing to do. Half the people in Chaucer's Tales were on a pilgrimage when he met them.
So, apparently these pilgrimages happen. They're not very often. They're like once every 25 years. They're pretty rare.
Yeah.
And it's not just the gays. I should clarify.
Yes.
It's not just the gays. So people travel to Rome and they pass through the holy doors at various basilicas in Rome. There's four basilicas that are sort of set up for this during the big Catholic Holy Year.
Okay.
It starts on the 24th, so Christmas Eve, this year, and it'll run through till January 6, 2026.
Okay.
So, year and smidge.
It's Josh's birthday and ending with, what is it called? Because the three wise men actually showed up late.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
That's when they actually showed up, was on early January. January 6th, it goes with the moon, I think, but it's early January. Not the Enlightenment. What's it called? There's somewhere out there, there's a Catholic who's angry at me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you're gay, so. Sorry, bad joke. Anyway, so La Tenda di Giornata, Jonathan's Tent, is an Italian association of Christians. They are planning a pilgrimage in September, marking one of the hundreds that will be taking place. The Advocate has some great coverage of this. Now, they've said that they're thrilled to be sharing in this. They'll be meeting on September 6th at 3 p.m. They'll gather in Rome, and then they'll head over to the St. Peter's Basilica from there. Now, the Vatican's evangelization office, I had to take a run at that word, evangelization office, they organize the Jubilees. They told Reuters in some coverage for this that they didn't organize the gays going on this pilgrimage. And the gays going on this pilgrimage is not necessarily support for the gays on the pilgrimage. But anyone can go on this pilgrimage.
Do you know what this is?
What?
This is the Catholic equivalent of Disney's Gay Days.
Yeah, it is giving the Catholic... Explain for our audience.
So, Disney's Gay Days was not originally endorsed by Disney. It wasn't... what's the opposite of endorsed? Denounced? It wasn't that either. It was just Disney didn't even know about it for the first few years. And basically the idea was that you would go to Disney on a given day, and this is sort of organized over the internet and chat spaces and stuff. So after the military and university professors, the gays were sort of the third group that were on the internet in large numbers. A lot of it was because, you know, being in the closet or being in the countryside or just finding it difficult to find people. But anyway... sort of the early 2000s where they would start showing up to Disney on a given day and they all wore a purple shirt, I think, purple or pink. That's how you would distinguish yourself, by just basically being there, milling about, looking like you were looking for other people who were also wearing a purple shirt. Yeah. And then people would find each other. And it was basically just people who were more focused on finding other gay men who liked Disney. And it wasn't a sex thing. It was just... Disney adults are a very specific category of people, and they were just trying to find each other.
I mean, everyone's looking for their Prince Charming, who I believe is actually on the West Wing of... I'm just kidding. I don't know where Prince Charming is.
I mean, half of the time, they just want to find someone who's willing to listen to them talk for 4 hours.
About Disney.
About Disney.
Yeah, yeah, that's not me.
So it's more of a hobby kind of a thing. And it just, year after year, they did it on one given day of the year, and eventually Disney noticed that there was something getting organized, and... obviously, there's a lot of gay and lesbian people working at Disney.
No!
And they knew about this, and then it sort of became unofficially endorsed. Mm-hmm. So they would give rates, and you could do, like, group events and things like that. But it's basically, it was grassroots organization of people. You know, any kind of time you have a situation where it's the doors are open and everyone's welcome, sometimes the gays organize themselves and say, okay, everybody... wear, I don't know, a red rubber band on your left wrist, and we'll all find each other, and then we'll play bridge or whatever. Like, these things are actually pretty common. So the fact that they're doing this with a Catholic pilgrimage is actually par for course. This is normal behavior.
So La Tenda di Giannunta, they arrange pastoral activities like a spiritual retreat, pilgrimage, for example. Mm-hmm. And they're like, quote, all who are interested to help LGBT people and their families feel welcome in their church, but also to foster in our Christian communities listening and to get to know each other. They're very excited. End quote. And they're very excited to be going. The fact that they got included, thrilled. They're over the moon. The Catholic Church was like, we didn't say they're not included.
Yeah.
But we didn't invite them. So
they didn't organize it.
Yeah, they didn't organize. Yeah. Essentially, there's a limited amount of space. Yeah. A limited number of groups can do it because, you know, you can't be overrun with all the Christians.
Yeah.
There are billions of them. But they're like, yeah, there was room. They filled out the paperwork. That's sort of what's happening. Speaking of filling out the paperwork.
Oh, no.
There was... I'm going to have to look it up because we didn't have it shortlisted for today's show.
Is this another gay technical writer story?
No. This is a story about a Santa parade in the USA.
Okay.
And there was a delegation, the Queer Pride, wanted to march in this Prattville, okay. Alabama, real place name.
Yes.
They attempted to ban the Pride group from attending. Now, the Pride group filled out the application form to attend.
Yes.
First. They were the first people to fill out the form.
Okay.
And the Santa Parade people were like, no politics. And they're like, it's fine. We just want to march and wave. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And they're like, but no politics. And they're like, no, it's cool.
Okay.
We're cool. We're just marching and waving. Like, that's it. March and wave.
Yeah.
And then a Christian group found out that the gays are going to be in the Santa Claus parade.
Uh-huh.
And they complained very loudly to anyone who would sit still long enough to listen.
Uh-huh.
Including the mayor of the city. And they were like, look, there's no rules saying they can't attend.
Yes.
If they're willing to follow the rules, they can attend. And the gays are like, we will. We just want to march and wave. That's it. It's a Santa Claus parade, march and wave, end of list. Anyway, so the mayor and the organisers did ban them. They were like, even though you're not breaking any rules, even though you're going to behave, because you're gay, we're going to ban you.
So at time of recording, it is currently 6 degrees centigrade in Alabama. So if they're worried about, like, puppies or leather daddies showing up, it's the wrong time
of year. It's the wrong season.
So, like, if they're worried about